John chapter 8, starting at verse 30. This is Jesus who has been speaking here. And as Jesus was saying these things, speaking about he was the light of the world, many believed in him. Verse 30. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. The slave does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know that you are offspring of Abraham. Yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I have seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father." And then carrying on through the rest of the passage, they answered him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus said to them, "If you were Abraham's children, you would be doing the works Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We were not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear them is that you are not of God." The Jews answered him, "Are we not right in saying that you are a Samaritan and have a demon?" Jesus answered, "I do not have a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death." The Jews said to him, "Now we know that you have a demon. Abraham died, as did the prophets. Yet you say, if anyone keeps my word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, who died? And the prophets died? Who do you make yourself out to be?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say he is our God. But you have not known him. I know him. If I were to say to you, I do not know him, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and you have seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. So far, God's word. Can I encourage you, as always, keep his word open before you as we look at this passage together this evening. But as we consider these words, let's ask God for a blessing. Please pray with me. We're going to be reminded this afternoon, Heavenly Father, that the truth sets us free. Open our eyes now to your truth. Open our hearts to a wonderful encouragement that we have here in your word. As we consider the subject of free will, open our hearts and give us understanding. We pray this through the work of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus Christ, and all God's people said, Amen. There's no such thing as free will. Have we got your attention? no such thing as free will. At least no such thing as total free will. There are always things that accept the choice that we see as free. I am free to go and get a tattoo. Nick's wondering how on earth I could consider getting a tattoo. I could go tomorrow, go down to Studio 41, I had to look up that name, and go and get a tattoo. I could get one of the race times put on my skin somewhere, or I love Hanukkah. And there you have it. That was unscripted, but there you have it. There are always things that accept our free choice. For starters, the idea of pain and needles just doesn't do it for me. My wife's already expressed displeasure would stop me as well. I don't want to spend the money. Really, I have no desire. I am free to stand on the edge of a cliff. But I wouldn't. Because I'm pretty much scared of heights. I am free not to sin. No one is forcing me to sin. But I can't not sin. If you don't believe me, try and stop sinning for a couple of days. Anyone think they'll have a good chance at that? Or maybe even just for a day, or until lunchtime. Or for an hour or so. We talked about this in our catechism class a couple of weeks ago. And what we learned there is that we all have a free will, but what we confuse the concept of free will, of being able to make a free choice, we confuse that with the ability that we have to make a free choice. The gospel is offered to all of Jesus Christ. Everyone is free to come to him, but without the work of the Holy Spirit, no one will come. We are free to make choices, but we're free to make choices in line with our nature. And unless the Holy Spirit changes our heart, we don't want to change. We have no interest in changing. We don't want to be free. So this evening we're going to see, as we look at John chapter 8 and these few verses here in verses 31 through 38, that God's truth sets us free. God's truth sets us free. And our first point this evening is that God's word brings truth. Jesus has been speaking. We didn't read the whole passage, but he's been speaking to the crowds and talking to them about how he is the light of the world. He's having an ongoing argument with the Jewish leaders. He tells them that he is light, and he places himself in opposition to the darkness, in opposition to the Jewish leaders. But yet as he's speaking, verse 30 tells us, and that's where we began our reading tonight, verse 30 tells us that many believed in him. Many heard Jesus and believed in him. And it's to this group that Jesus begins speaking in verse 31, to those who believed in Jesus. And he says these words to them: "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples." Do you want to know one of the marks of being a disciple of Jesus Christ? You abide in the words of Jesus. To the crowd who believes in Jesus, Jesus is saying, abide in my word. And that word abide means listen to my word, hear my words, and do them. That's what it means to be a disciple, one of my disciples. Now today we don't hear Jesus' voice in the way that those who are listening to Jesus here in John 8 can do. But yet the message to us this evening is the same. What's the mark of a disciple today? It remains abiding in the word of God, abiding in Jesus' word. And as we listen to God's word, as we read God's word, as we marinate in God's word, as we absorb God's word and put that into action, Jesus says that will help you, that will bring you to, verse 33, you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. You will know the truth, Jesus says. We live today in a world that asks the question of Pilate before Jesus, what is truth? And they also answer it. They say truth is what I say it is. Truth is relative. Truth is whatever you want it to be. But Jesus says, look to me. Look to me and there you will find truth. Learn from me. Because there you will find true freedom. So straight away this afternoon we have a check. Do we show this mark of a disciple? Are we seeking God's truth? Are we spending time in God's truth? Are we digesting his word? Are we seeking his truth? Are we spending time in his truth? Because if we don't, we don't grow. How can we grow if we're starving ourselves of the varied food that Jesus offers us? Can that be a struggle sometimes? Yes. But brothers and sisters, that doesn't mean you should stop. Jesus calls you to come and abide with him through and in his word. Use his word as a guide. Look to it to find direction for your life. When you're making a difficult decision in life, and we all face various difficult decisions, how do you process that in your own mind? How do you process that? One of the ways you can process it is by weighing up the pros and cons, making a list. What are the pros of this decision? What are the cons of this decision? Do people do that sort of thing, make lists? Put those together? Yeah, that's not a bad thing in itself. But how about, as an example of abiding in God's word, starting first of all with the principles of Scripture? What does God say on this issue? And no, he doesn't tell you in his word whether you should take this job or that job, whether you could move here or there, those kind of things. But he does give you direction in his word. How about starting first of all there? What does God say? Bathing that in prayer. Too often, brothers and sisters, friends, we live with the rule, with this rule. If all else fails, and only when all else fails, read the instructions. But Jesus calls us to read the instructions first. Abide in me, and you will know the truth. The truth will set you free. God's word leads us to freedom. But before we look at that freedom, we're going to look at an issue that Jesus dealt with the leaders of the day that did not set them free. And that's our second point this afternoon. Church membership doesn't set us free. Church membership doesn't set us free. Now, I've said it before, and it's the case here again as we deal with John as an author, especially the book of John. It's often difficult to know who's speaking where. If you look with me there at verse 33, who's the they? Now, it's easy to assume, well, it must be the people that Jesus is talking to in verse 31. Jesus said to the Jews who believe in him, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are offspring of Abraham and have never been a slave to anyone. But as we continue reading this conversation, we see that it turns quite nasty. In terms of the Jesus being direct. Jesus goes on speaking to the they is still there in 39 as they answer Jesus. Jesus goes on in verse 44 to say this, you, that's the they again, are of your father the devil and your will is to do your father's desires. This hardly seems like the thing that Jesus would say to the many who believed in his words, does it? So the better way to understand this, and the more likely way, is rather than the they being the Jews who had believed in Jesus, is that the leaders, the Jewish leaders who Jesus had been fighting and debating with, hear Jesus speaking to these believers, and they jump in. They butt in the conversation, and they ask a question. They can't keep silent. They have to challenge Jesus. And so they say to him, "We are offspring of Abraham and have never been enslaved to anyone." Now, it's irony in itself, isn't it? Can anyone name for me some of the nations that the Jews had been slaves to over the time of history? Sorry? The Babylonians, yep. Before that, the Egyptians, yes. The Assyrians. And who were they currently a slave to? The Romans. And here they are saying, well, we're a slave to no one. We're our own masters. But what the Jews are doing here is claiming privilege. They say we are our own masters, no matter who we are supposedly slaves to. We are direct descendants of Abraham. We are God's chosen people. In other places, as Paul debates with them, they will say, we have the law. God's chosen us. We belong. We are free because we only belong to God. But Jesus takes what they say about slavery, about physical slavery, and uses that to show them that they are actually slaves. He begins in verse 34 to say, "Truly, truly, I say to you," literally there, "Amen, amen, I say to you." And whenever you read this in the New Testament, that's code for listen up. I'm going to say something very important. And Jesus goes on to point to these leaders. Everyone, verse 34, who practices sin is a slave to sin. He points out their greatest need. They need to be saved from their sins. And without a Savior, they cannot be free. He's showing them it's not enough to be a physical descendant of Israel. It's not enough to have the law. It's not enough to be part of a nation. In fact, none of that is going to help unless you are right with God. Now, today we aren't Israel. We aren't part of the physical nation of Israel. But there are ways that we in church life can think that we're okay because of what we do or the environment we live in. Being a member of a church, being a member of this church, while it's a good thing, doesn't save you. It doesn't set you free from the slavery of sin. Going to church doesn't save you. Going to the church as a family where your parents have gone to for years and years doesn't save you. Being part of a church tradition doesn't save you. Being baptized does not save you. If you think being here this evening, that you're going to be okay because you go to church regularly, occasionally. You've been going to church for years and that will set you free. That'll set you right. You've been baptized. You are sadly mistaken. You are not set free without Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only answer. And if you're a young person, and boys and girls, you're young and you're growing up, and some of us here too, there's time for us to start thinking about making a public commitment, about taking that step, about standing on your own two feet, claiming faith for your own. Something for you to think about. Being a member of a church doesn't set you free. Jesus says to those, the Jewish leaders, being a member of the tribe of Israel, the nation of Israel, doesn't set you free. But what does set you free, and I've already hinted to it and alluded to it, point three, our final point this evening, the Son sets us free. The Son sets us free. Jesus continues to engage with his detractors. And he speaks about himself in the third person here. He tells the leaders who are arguing with him that they don't actually belong to the house that matters. He says to them, as we've read in verse 34, everyone who practices sin is a slave to sin. A slave to sin does not remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. We looked this morning at slaves, didn't we? Slaves could come and go. If you didn't like a slave, you could just get rid of them. You could put them to death. But Jesus says here, if you are a child of the head of the house, if you belong, if you're a son or a daughter, you will remain in that house. You belong in that house. No one will kick you out. No one will remove you. How do you become a member of that house? Through the Son, capital S, verse 36. Through the adoption that comes through Jesus Christ. And there, brothers and sisters, friends, is true freedom. True freedom in Christ. True freedom from sin. Only in Jesus Christ can we truly be free. Free to serve. Free to choose. Free to be able to choose to do good. And free through the operation, through the work, through the help of the Holy Spirit to make the most important choice any of us will ever make. The choice of accepting Jesus Christ, of accepting his paying for our sins, his death for us. And again, we can't make that choice on our own. It's only through the Holy Spirit that we can. Now, Jesus concedes to the leaders of the Jews. He does concede to them there in verse 37. He says, I know that you are the offspring of Abraham. I know that you're physical descendants. If they were to go to jewishgenealogy.com, not necessarily a real website, they could be able to show their lineage all the way back to Father Abraham. But Jesus says, that doesn't help you. There's nothing more embarrassing than being in a queue, being in a line somewhere and you're waiting and you get to just about the front of the queue and you realize you're in the wrong line. You wanted a hot dog, but this place is selling pies. And Jesus is saying here, you're in the wrong line. You don't belong to the house that you need to belong to. You don't belong to the spiritual house of Abraham. You don't belong because you seek to kill me, verse 37. You don't belong because you don't have God as your father. You claim to. But the reality is, verse 44 again, you have the devil as your father. And Jesus highlights here a stark reality. If you are not a child of God the Father, if you do not belong to Jesus Christ, then your father can only be the devil. You're enslaved in sin. And it's a horrible truth that you'll never be free unless you turn to Jesus Christ. If you are here this evening and you have not placed your hope in Jesus Christ, you will never, ever be free. Don't reject him. Don't turn away from him. Now, I hope and pray that I'm preaching to the converted this evening. But brothers and sisters, this is the message that we need to bring to a world that needs to be set free. The truth of sin, the truth of a sin that enslaves us, but not just that truth, also to bring to them the hope, to set before them the hope of the Son that sets us free, truly free. If we're in Jesus Christ now, are we truly free now? We're not yet, are we? We're still corrupted. We still carry the weight of sin. We're just making a beginning. And as I said, if you don't believe me, just try and stop sinning for a day or a couple of hours or even arguably for a couple of minutes. We cannot yet. We're on the way. But we live in the sure knowledge. We live in the amen knowledge, the truly knowledge that one day we will have true freedom. But again, the true freedom that we will have when we're in perfection is that we will be free to only do good. And that's possible only because of the grace of Jesus Christ. Oh, how the grace of God amazes me. It loosed me from my bonds and set me free. What made it happen so? 'Twas his will, this much I know, set me as now I show at liberty. My God has chosen me, though one of naught, to sit beside my King in heaven's court. Hear what my Lord hath done. Oh, the love that made him run to meet his erring son. This has God wrought. And when I think of how at Calvary he bore sin's penalty instead of me, amazed I wonder why he, the sinless one, should die for one so vile as I, my Saviour he. Come now, the whole of me, ears, eyes and voice, join me, creation all with joyful noise, praise him who broke the chain, holding me in sin's domain, and set me free again. Sing and rejoice. Amen. Let's rejoice in prayer now. Please pray with me. We thank you and praise you, Heavenly Father, that in Jesus Christ we are truly free. What a blessing that is. What a wonderful truth that is. What a wonderful reminder this afternoon that we are free if we're in Jesus Christ. May that truth free us to serve you in the week ahead. May that truth and that desire for that truth be kindled anew in us this afternoon, that we may have a hunger and a thirst for your word. Lord, I pray here this afternoon for anyone who is struggling to spend time in your word. Help us to persevere. Bless us, encourage us as we spend time in your word. Help us as brothers and sisters to help each other. But ultimately, that hunger and thirst comes from you. But Heavenly Father, as we finish this evening, we simply want to thank you for the Son who set us free, saved from sin, bonds released, free to serve our God, and we look forward with joy to that day when we will be truly free indeed. But free not to choose sin because we cannot sin, but free to serve you perfectly and enjoy you forever. Indeed, come quickly, Lord Jesus, come quickly, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen. Let's respond now in song, the reminder that it is God who chooses us. The wonderful reminder that it, Lord, works in us through his Holy Spirit to set us free. Let's stand and sing the words of number 436, "'Tis not that I to choose thee," after which remain standing, please, for the blessing of God to his people.